Welcome to the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana.
Watford for the win! Yes! Yes! Unbelievable!
Your daily home for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Welcome to Indiana basketball.
Smart takes the shot! And the Hoosiers with 3 seconds. Go ahead.
Indiana wins the championship. Keith Smart is the hero.
When my time on Earth is gone and my activities here are past, I want they bury me upside down and my critics can kiss my...
Now here's your host, Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana. What I feel is the pinnacle, the absolute pinnacle of all of college basketball.
And hello, welcome in another week of the Hoosier Report, and we come to you on this Monday with really a historic moment in Assembly Hall over the weekend. Saturday afternoon, Bob Knight makes his return to IU, to Assembly Hall, officially for a basketball game. We have talked about this on and off over the years with different reunions of some of the great Indiana teams and former Indiana players. At times, there has been some momentum that it might happen and that people predicting it would happen last year and again this year specifically. Of course, the Ohio State game earlier this year, there was lots of reasoning and excitement that that might be the day that Bob Knight officially made his return. It did not happen. Lots of people pretty frustrated, pretty disappointed with reports that it could happen and then it not happening. But yesterday, or I should say Saturday, very special, and again, I know lots of people, as this has come up here recently with his return, lots of people have different thoughts on Bob Knight. I don't think there's any question about that. Some people admire him, think he was the answer, may still be the answer for Indiana. Other people maybe didn't like his style, think he wore out his welcome, glad that Indiana made a change. There's all thoughts from either one of those viewpoints and in between. But I think, not 100%, you're never going to be 100%, especially today, but I think most people, most Indiana fans, most college basketball fans are happy that he did return and happy that he did make an entrance in Assembly Hall for a big game and happy that he was on the midcourt celebrating, happy, tears, being funny, being goofy with his players, his former players, some of his better players. And of course, you got a guy like Isaiah Thomas there that's hanging around you and hugging you the whole time. Just a really an amazing sight. So, yeah, some people, even the folks that maybe aren't the biggest Bob Knight fans or were spurned by the way he left the job and then maybe didn't come back to Indiana but went to some Purdue fish fries with Gene Katie and other crazy things. And he's done so many crazy things over the years. I still feel like the general consensus is that folks are happy that Bob Knight is back. Does this mean closure for IU, for the program as a whole, former players, former coaches, new players? I really don't know. There's been lots of usage of that word. Closure now will happen that Bob Knight has taken the effort to return. We'll see. I think that obviously it does help naturally mend some of the history of the program. But it seemed to me like the players, for the most part, still returned. I don't know. There probably were a handful that I'm not aware of specific names that maybe didn't come back in protest of how Coach Knight was handled and that firing of him from his job. But and I would say that more with a strong approach to that, a strong reasoning on that when he was fired initially for those years after that. And I'd say some of that is worn off as players have come back and been invited back for different alumni functions and gatherings that they have, whether it's something that takes place during a game that's like a public deal or whether it's something that's more of a private reception for former players and things. I know Archie Miller has tried to do a lot of that kind of stuff since he's been back. You know, I think that there is some opportunity to move forward from this. And, of course, Bob Knight, as a whole, clearly he's not the Bob Knight that – we remember on the sideline. There's been lots of reports about reasons that he moved back to Bloomington, and you can just tell. I mean, even Dick Vitale, without going into any particular, saying he's really going through some tough stuff right now. Speaking of Dick Vitale, that situation with Dick Vitale was just very awkward and confusing. I'm not sure if it was a joke. A lot of people think it was funny, and there's been clips of it, and other people think, gosh, this is sad. Bob Knight was really he was really teed off at Dick Vitale, and you wonder why and if it's really something that he can't control. So all sorts of emotions watching that his entrance. And I tell you, what was probably the most interesting 30 seconds, 20 seconds, whatever it was, is almost felt like I was watching a WWF or WWE wrestling pay-per-view where they've got the cameras in the back hallways of the arena waiting for the champion or the next match or whatever for the wrestler to come out. They had ESPN, I thought, pretty cool. They had cameras in the hallway. They had security blocking everybody off. And you actually got to watch Bob Knight make his approach to Assembly Hall. And as he got closer and closer to busting through the door, you could hear the crowd get louder and louder. And I was not there, but obviously watching on TV and watched a lot of videos of it, both homemade videos on phones and otherwise throughout the weekend. Obviously some special moments, lots of tears in Assembly Hall, and Bob Knight yelling, play defense, and then watching Keith Smart get down in a defensive stance was pretty classic. I don't think there's any doubt about that. So I know we'll talk a lot of Bob Knight today. I am sure that we'll talk a lot of Bob Knight, maybe more so now moving forward. I do feel like that there is an interest in seeing what happens from here. I think some people are glad it happened one time and probably will put no stock or special meaning to a return trip to Assembly Hall. But I'm personally interested. Do you see Bob Knight occasionally sitting near the bench or, you know, in the wooden bleachers down low somewhere with a buddy, with Bob Hamill, the former Bloomington sports writer, taking in a game? Do you see him come back for future reunions of great Indiana teams over the years? When Archie Miller has this annual players get together, I think they've had it in French Lick sometime, other places as well. Does Bob Knight come to that with other former coaches and assistants and players? I'm not sure any of that necessarily matters with the program moving forward, but I do think it's interesting to see what happens from here. Was this like a one-time thing where he wanted to do it? His family was maybe encouraging him. Obviously, there were former players encouraging him. Maybe his health is making it easier for him to return. You hate to speculate too much about that. And his health in general, how long will he be able to continue to make the rounds in Bloomington to be spotted out on a somewhat regular basis, it seems like, eating dinner and going places with his wife or with Bob Hamill. So I'm curious, as a guy that's followed Indiana basketball basically all of my life, what happens to Bob Knight moving forward, and I'm sure that a lot of you guys are as well. But I always encourage interaction. We get some regular folks that have great questions and viewpoints and opinions, and some of them we get on the air, some of them we don't. But I'm curious today, whether we read your specific comment or not, are you happy Bob Knight came back, and is this closure for the program moving forward? You can tweet me your thoughts at Hoosier Hills. Again, all one word, Hoosier Hills on Twitter. You can also find our show on Facebook. Search The Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison on Facebook, and you can send us a message there. Really kind of curious what some of the listeners of this show think. Is it closure with Bob Knight coming back for Indiana's program moving forward? As we get into the show today, obviously we've got to talk about the Indiana-Purdue game, and I tell you what, not a good performance. As interesting as the opening half was at times, although Indiana found themselves down nearly by double digits going in to halftime, I did think that Indiana's performance in the game Saturday, not good. And for a team that right now, or at least before that game, was hanging on to a NCAA tournament bid and a lot of the projections that are out there, they needed to get that game at home. They needed it for NCAA purposes, for Big Ten purposes, and really for confidence purposes as they move into another home game, which is ever so important as well against Iowa coming up very soon. But this team, a team that just a couple weeks ago I was pretty sure was going to get into the NCAA tournament this year. I didn't think it would be by any sort of safe margin, but I felt like they would get in. I felt like they have the tools, had the tools, were playing the right way to slide into it. I don't have that confidence after watching that game Saturday in very much detail. So I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen with this Indiana team. Obviously, things are not improving. They had some time off between their last game and the Purdue contest on Saturday. what happens with Indiana and their NCAA hopes moving forward. And now they're back getting very much against the wall as they move forward in this Iowa game at home. So very important that's coming up. So obviously today a lot of Bob Knight talk, a lot of Indiana struggles talk today. Not a fun game to take in outside of the Knight festivities. That too, and that, one other thing here as I open the show and get into the rest of everything, you would think and hope the perfect setting for that day. It's Indiana-Purdue. Gene Katie is there, the former Purdue coach. Bob Knight, some of his great players with him at halftime. Can you imagine a better storyline, a better second half, a better headline, a better column from Greg Doyle, whatever it may be, than Indiana rallying down almost double figures at halftime after the crowd is enthused from Coach Knight's appearance in an emotional game, than Indiana rallying to win the game over Purdue on Saturday? And, of course, that was the perfect backdrop. And at a moment, Indiana made a little charge, and you think, okay, here they go. They came out, hit a couple shots. I don't even – maybe had a dunk there right away out of the gate. I can't remember. But obviously it didn't work out that way. But what a storyline in addition to what the storyline of Knight returning already is by itself. What a storyline it could have been on Saturday. Let's jump into the show lineup for today. It's a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Segment one, I'll have our Zaxby's headlines for this Monday briefly. Coming up also later in the program, Zach Osterman of the Indianapolis Star. He was at the game, took in the game, took in Bob Knight. We'll talk all of that with him when he joins us a little bit later in the show today. And then following that, we'll talk some local stuff with Chad Gilbert. Chad is the Charlestown Athletic Director, former coach, IHSA board member as well, and a lot of stuff going. We had girls sectionals this past weekend. Not real good news to report for local teams. We had obviously more boys games, mainly on Thursday and Saturday afternoon. We'll cover some of that. We'll talk some Romeo Langford with Chad. Romeo getting some ticks in Boston. Didn't get a lot yesterday, but boy, had a good couple games before that, minutes-wise and even some points in production-wise for Boston, and we'll catch up on that as well. That's the guest lineup. It's a service of Honey Baked Ham. Visit your local Honey Baked Ham store in New Albany and receive $20 off any bone-in ham. Also, you can buy one, get one free ham bones as well right now at Honey Baked Ham in New Albany, all for a limited time. Let's take a look at our Zaxby's headlines, a summary of the day's top IU and Southern Indiana sports news presented by Zaxby's with locations in Jeffersonville and New Albany. And Indiana over the weekend, I don't know what else to say about the Purdue game. Obviously, Purdue dominated the paint. Indiana outscored there. Trace Jackson-Davis, as he has been in so many games, one of the lone bright spots for this Indiana team. He had 16 points, 4 of 9 shooting, 8 of 10 from the free throw line. He continues to be one of the real hopeful players for this Indiana team moving forward into the latter stages of this season. We'll talk more about IU and Purdue coming up with Zach here in the next segment as well. Also, want to talk some girls high school basketball very briefly. You know, we have 12 teams in Clark and Floyd counties that play boys and girls high school basketball that had entries in the girls state tournament, the girls sectional tournaments this past weekend. And I'll tell you, it was not a banner year as far as teams go. We've got some great individual players in our area, but as far as teams go, not a great year. If you look at overall records, number of schools with losing records this season, handful of schools with winning records or 500 records this season. But I guess most amazingly to me is not one Clark or Floyd team made it out of the sectional this weekend, which is always so fun if you get a team. It doesn't matter who it is, big school, small school, right here in the heart of our New Albany, Jeffersonville area, or out in the outskirts of Floyd or Clark County, doesn't matter where. Always fun to see locals have success in the state tournament and in the postseason. And I thought Silver Creek was going to have the best chance to get it done. Scott Shane, a great player, one of the greatest shooters I've seen himself, coached the Lady Dragons to a 21-4 record this season. They lost in the championship game. Both Silver Creek and Salem highly ranked in 3A basketball, a classic finish. Salem wins 54-52. Back-to-back winning seasons for Silver Creek. Scott Shane has some real talent in that program. Be interesting to see what they accomplish moving forward. But I thought Silver Creek maybe could get a very good Salem team. And at the end of the game, it looked like they might. They had a little lead. It got away from them. Salem rallied, and Salem wins it at the very end, 54-52. And really, as far as local teams advancing, Salem and Washington County would be one of the closest to our immediate area moving on in sectional play. Also over the weekend, New Albany had no problems with Columbus East. I tell you what, Caden Stanton, just a sophomore for New Albany. He started some as a freshman, got lots of playing time as a freshman. He's had some good games as a sophomore. He's had some really good games as a sophomore. And the last couple games he's had have been really good. He had a career high, I think, or tied his career high at halftime of the Saturday afternoon game against Columbus East, and had a nice second half as well. Really shot it well from long range for New Albany to help the Bulldogs pull away. Jeffersonville as well. There have been lots of rumors. I don't try not to get too into rumors when it comes to high school sports specifically, but Will Loving's Watts, there been all sorts of rumors about his status with the team. Did he leave the team? Is he on the team? Is he going to return to the team? And those are things that really we can't address until we find out if he's on the sideline or not. But without him, they go to Southridge, a very neat gym and tough place to play. Southridge, a very good program at their level with some good players, although they were missing one of their key players. And Jeffersonville handled Southridge on the road Saturday afternoon. So kind of a bounce-back win potentially from Jeffersonville moving forward. Lots of talent there. We know that. And it'll be interesting to follow the Red Devils as they move in through the remainder of the season into the sectional. And I want to say this one more time. I've said it a lot, but my goodness, looking at scores this week again, talking with coaches this week, the Seymour sectional is going to be absolutely fantastic. You've got the Jeffersonvilles and Floyd Centrals and New Albany's, and I think you've got to put Bedford right there at the top. And, of course, Bedford and New Albany still have a regular season date as well. But even at Jennings County is competitive and solid, and Seymour took New Albany to overtime and has had some reasonably close scores. There was a time where they got blown out any time they played a Hoosier Hills Conference team outside of maybe Jennings County. But that's changed, and that sectional at Seymour is going to be absolutely fantastic. I know we've been spoiled with Romeo and some unbelievable New Albany-Floyd Central games there in recent years, and I have no idea what's going to happen this year or who you could really mark as the favorite right now, but I think it's going to be great from Tuesday night all the way through Friday. And there are times when, you know, depending on the pairings, maybe you weren't sure if the Tuesday night trip was worth it or not. But because it's a lot more even, some of the bottom teams are much more to the middle, to the center now, and there's a lot of log jam at the top with, based on regular season records and success, could be a lot of fun, no question about it. I know we're going to talk lots more about that. Obviously, I have a love affair with the 4A sectional at Seymour. Can't wait for that thing to get here. It's going to be so much fun. One other quick note, huge game for a weeknight game. Can't wait to take this one in. Tomorrow night, Jeffersonville, scratch that, Floyd Central at Silver Creek tomorrow night in Sellersburg. First time those teams have played in 5 or 6 seasons, I believe. They halted the series, and back at it, and a great year to get back at it. Floyd Central having a solid year, Silver Creek having a terrific, unbelievable year. And that should be a fun one on Tuesday night. I think you say the Dragons are the favorite going into that one, as they have been in many, many, if not most all of their games this season. That's a look at the Zaxby's headlines. Zaxby's is the home of famous hand-breaded, hand-seasoned chicken fingers, fresh salads, and saucy wings, all made to order. We'll head to a commercial break. When we come back, Zach Osterman of the Indianapolis Star, IU, Indiana struggles, more on IU-Purdue, more on Bob Knight as well, coming your way with Zach after this on a Monday edition of the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
I'll handle this the way I want to handle it now that I'm here. You f***ed it up to begin with. Now just sit there or leave. I don't give a shit what you do. Now, back to the game.
Here's Matt Dennison.
And we're back. Zach Osterman of the Indianapolis Star with us here in just a moment. We'll talk Bob Knight and IU. I ask for your feedback and interaction for comments and questions every day for our guest. And based on the first segment, a number of thoughts from you guys about Bob Knight. Thomas tweets, he said, "I loved it. Bob Knight was and is Indiana basketball. I am not proud of some of the things he did, but it was a different time. I would love to see this current staff and team would have a small amount of fire that Coach Knight had." And also a message from Derek. He says, "Very happy Coach Knight came back. I watched the Pacers game Saturday night, and seeing him honored there on Basketball Day in Indiana was almost as moving. The camera showed him later sitting in the suite watching. He seemed very alert and intent on watching the game. He seemed genuinely happy." And we'll get to some more of your comments later on. Keep them coming in. Zach Osterman with us. Zach, obviously today we're recapping a lot, starting with Bob Knight and then getting into some of Indiana basketball's troubles on the court with the game Saturday against Purdue and how that could negatively affect their NCAA hopes moving forward here. I want to cover Coach Knight first. I think you were one of the first I saw for sure that confirmed via a source that Coach Knight was going to be there. Lots of rumors the last few days leading up to the game. What was your reaction when you were told from your source that, hey, this is going to go down today? I mean, you've been at Assembly Hall so many times covering games. You know the history of this program. You know how many times it's been rumored that Coach Knight might come back and then it not happen. What were your thoughts going through your mind even before he stepped out onto the floor?
Yeah, it was an interesting kind of building process. I think that there were people who kind of reported in the week building up that the rumors seemed credible. There were people that reported the night before, including, I think, Seth Davis from The Athletic, that Indiana was very much prepared for Knight to be there, not just in the way that Indiana would always, you know, have sort of a basic plan in a drawer somewhere for that, but that Indiana was genuinely kind of gearing up for Knight to be there. And then I think Saturday was when it kind of was officially, because I think everybody, even at Indiana, was sort of saying to themselves, you know, we'll know when he walks into the building, so to speak. But I was at Assembly Hall probably about 2.5 hours before tip off, which is a lot earlier than I usually get there for obvious reasons. And, you know, there were added security there, security people that used to work Assembly Hall that I hadn't seen in years, that were back wearing, you know, suits and ties, talking about how they were going to block off that tunnel, how they were going to create that aisle to the, you know, to the court and those sorts of things, the kind of stuff that doesn't go on just for a normal, reunion, because they have, you know, one of these almost every season, at least one. And that was when you kind of knew, okay, Indiana, you know, really genuinely believes that today is the day. And then I think probably, I'd have to go look back at my own tweet, but I think it was about 30, 40 minutes before tip-off was when Indiana finally kind of gave the high sign to everyone around the arena, you know, this is what's, you know, kind of going down here. But it was, you know, I mean, listen, I didn't grow up in Indiana. I don't, you know, I don't cheer for IU basketball. It's not in my job remit for obvious reasons, but you know what that moment meant to people around here. And while I would not claim to be, you know, the greatest sort of arbiter of, I don't know what the word, well, I wouldn't claim to be super close with all sorts of different former IU players, having gotten to know a few of them down the years across different eras, and particularly the Bob Knight eras, you know what that meant to them. And you know that for a lot of them, you know, these last 20 years have been difficult because on the one hand, they've wanted to be supportive of their program, and they've wanted to be able to, you know, kind of be proud to support IU basketball and try and, you know, help it in any way they can. But on the other, I think it did feel incomplete for a lot of them. Maybe not all, probably not all. They don't think with one mind. But I think for many of them, it did feel incomplete. And, you know, we can talk about how it had felt for a while like we were building toward this, with Knight moving back to Bloomington and all sorts of different things. But You know, the more basic point was that I think that for them, as much as anyone else, seeing him come back out and getting so many of them back to share that moment with him, that's the group that I think maybe you feel happiest for, in addition to Knight himself, because Knight really did seem to soak in that moment and really appreciate it. And, you know, you got the sense with some of the pictures that leaked out from behind the scenes where they had, you know, the reunion back on the court at Cook Hall, which, by the way, is where they normally do those things. They want to give the former players and coaches and managers a little bit of space so that they're not constantly taking pictures and signing autographs, and they really can spend some quality time together, catching up, seeing one another, saying hello. You know, you saw Knight and those, and you felt like he was very much kind of enjoying himself there as well. I don't think it's hyperbole to say, whatever you may think of the moment, of Bob Knight, of the state of Indiana basketball right now, whatever, it's hard to imagine we'll see a moment like that again, just because of the exact details of, you know, Knight's legacy, his success, his achievements, his estrangement from the program, the controversy around it, the drama all these years, and then for it to kind of culminate in that moment, it's hard to imagine that happening again.
Zach Osterman, Indianapolis Star, with us. We're talking about the return of Bob Knight to Assembly Hall on Saturday. I think some people are obviously thrilled it happened, but moving forward, if he comes back again, great. If he doesn't, hey, we you know, the big deals happen. Do you think, though, that this could be something where we see Bob Knight, maybe like a Gene Katie, watching an Indiana game from time to time, showing up for reunions and things? Or do you think that this was kind of a one-time shot that he was convinced to do, maybe by family and some of the former players that mean the most to him?
I don't know. I think that's maybe an interesting question that I have. And you know, at the same time, I think, as you sort of alluded to there at the beginning of your question, I don't know that it's necessarily – like, I'm not getting people saying to me, well, when's he going to come back? You know, it was – the question was always, when will Bob Knight come back? When will it be the first time? I don't think anyone is now – saying, well, you know, none of this feels complete unless he comes back again and again and again. I think that you know, that moment Saturday was, for anyone who needed it, whether it be fans, players, Knight himself, whomever, you know, that was the moment. If he does come back, of course, I think Indiana would always be happy to have him back. You know, where they'd sit him, I don't know. I'm sure they'd want to try and give him, you know, some place where he'd have the space to not be, you know, taking pictures with people all afternoon or evening during the game. You know, so would it be somewhere up in the Spirit of 76 Club, or, you know, somewhere with a little bit of protection of Press Row? I really don't know. You know, would it even be something where they'd just sort of happily give him a coach's office somewhere where he could sit and watch the game on a TV and be there, but not necessarily, not because, you know, people don't deserve to see Bob Knight or ask pictures, you know, Bob Knight, but because I think, obviously, I think we both can understand that if Bob Knight just sort of turns up in the stands, let's say behind the IU bench for a game, you know, even though it's not the first time he's been back, people are going to swarm. They're going to want to see him. They're going to want to say hello to him and all those sorts of understandable things. It's worth pointing out, this is not the first IU sporting event he's attended in the last calendar year. He was at that baseball game in April. I also found out he was actually in Cook Hall, I guess, almost 2 weeks ago now, because they played that tribute video before he came out on the floor, and they actually filmed the interview he did for that. The Tuesday or the Wednesday of Indiana's trip to Penn State a couple of weeks ago, so that they could bring him in when Cook Hall was quiet and, you know, they'd have kind of the run of the place. And they interviewed him on the Cook Hall floor. So I could see him coming back. You know, I don't think it necessarily will carry, you know, anywhere near the same sort of symbolic importance as Saturday did. But I wouldn't rule it out. I don't think it's one where everybody's going to be sort of, you know, wringing their hands, wondering when will it happen again. I think in terms of the you know, the moment of catharsis or closure, if you want to say, that was Saturday.
Zach Osterman, Indianapolis Star, with me. We got to talk about the game on Saturday. That was a whole nother story, as emotional and as tear-jerking in some cases, and special the night return was for so many people. The game was not as special. Indiana, Zach, clearly has some struggles continuing, even after a little bit of a layoff, and I think fans hoped a time to make a few adjustments and get a little rest and come back at home for a few games and really push ahead to an NCAA tournament bid. Instead of that, Indiana loses to a Purdue team that I think is actually beginning to play some pretty good basketball on a consistent basis. Not a good afternoon on the court for the Hoosiers.
Yeah, I mean, not a good, you know, maybe not a very good, you know, track just sort of generally right now for Indiana. It's funny, a part of me always wondered if Indiana wouldn't lose the game night returned for unless either A, it was, you know, some B-level, C-level opponent, or B, Indiana was just so good that, you know, Indiana was top five in the country, top 10 in the country. It was just so good they were going to win the game regardless. But I always kind of wondered, and I do think there was maybe an element of this Saturday, not the only reason, but an element of it, was that so much emotional energy was going to be sucked toward night's return that, you know, would you be able to get the building kind of consistently behind the performance as well? But to be fair to those fans, you didn't really, I mean, Indiana just showed no capacity for harnessing momentum on Saturday. You know, they kind of battled early. Purdue pushed ahead. I think they were down 9 at halftime. And it just, it felt like every time Indiana got close, either they blew a couple of important offensive possessions like they did when they got it down to 6, because the lead ballooned to, I think, as much as 17. Or, you know, Indiana would get a run of 5-7 straight points, and you'd think, okay, you know, the building's getting up, fans are getting rowdy, maybe Matt Painter needs to call a timeout, they're getting into it, and then Purdue would just hit them with a couple of quick possessions back, Indiana would allow points off a turnover or, you know, points off an offensive rebound, and that would just kind of kill whatever momentum Indiana had. And, you know, listen, it's I saw, you know, irrespective of the night stuff, I saw a whole lot of, you know, oh, it's a tough day for the Indiana safely in the NCAA tournament crowd, you know, after the Purdue game. People may believe this, they may not. Indiana's probably still today safely in the NCAA tournament. That's not, you know, the four-game losing streak doesn't just sort of, it's not like the NCAA says, oh, sorry, you've lost 4 games in a row. You are no longer allowed to be considered for qualification for the field of 68. What you can say in concert with that is this season is heading in the wrong direction at the worst possible time. And that it's not difficult at all to look at the way this team has been playing over the last 2 or 3 weeks, look at the results they have behind them, the challenges they have ahead of them, and kind of the weaknesses that they can't really seem to overcome right now, and say, this does not look like a team that is tracking to be able to do enough such that when we get to Selection Sunday, you know, the old proverbial, if the tournament started today, well, when we get to Selection Sunday, you say, well, the tournament does start basically tomorrow or Tuesday, so now is the time. This team is not tracking toward being anywhere near where it needs to be from a resume standpoint, from a results standpoint right now, to, you know, to make the tournament. So it's one of those where you kind of want to look at the people who are shouting fire in a crowded theater and tell them to calm down, but also point out that there is a perfectly reasonable argument that says the way this team is trending would suggest the tournament's not looking great right now. And then, of course, we get into maybe the broader debates about the direction of the program, the makeup of the roster, and whether in year 3, you know, how much of the blame Archie Miller needs to shoulder himself.
Yeah, absolutely. Indiana not making the NCAA tournament, if that happens again, going to be, I think, an interesting offseason. New AD coming in, lots of interesting discussions ahead if that happens. Want to look ahead real quick with you, Zach. Iowa is up next coming up on Thursday. So another mini break for this Indiana team as they get ready for a home game before going on the road for games at Michigan and Minnesota. Iowa has been up and down like most of the Big Ten this season. It's a game at home with NCAA hopes coming off a loss at home to Purdue that Indiana just has to win.
No, I mean, I think we are kind of getting to that point. I don't know. I mean, again, it's a weird one to say must wins, because you look at it and you just think, well, you know, how many must wins can there be before we're just talking about, you know, too much extremity, for lack of a better term, too often. But Indiana's got 4 or 5 on the road after that. You know, this is a team that has, other than if you remove Nebraska, Indiana's 0-5 in the Big Ten on the road. They've lost those 5 by an average of almost 14 points. They've been down big in every one of those games. In 2 of them, they trailed by as much as 30 at one point. It's not like they've put in some battling performances on the road and come up short. They have just really struggled with anybody that has any real kind of metal on the road. And so you look at even a trip to a Minnesota and you say, you know, that's a lot of ask right there. So if Indiana's 15-8 right now, Indiana's got 4 home games, 4 road games left. The home games are Iowa, Penn State, Minnesota, and Wisconsin. Win those 4, and again, I know people don't believe me, that's fine, but like, I can do math, and I've familiarized myself with NCAA tournament selection procedure. Win those 4, you're in the tournament, probably safely, probably pretty comfortably. I mean, I think you're right in there, digging in as a 9 seed, a 10 seed. I know that's not super impressive, but you are in the field. And if you're a 10 seed, you're not even really that close to the cut line, you know, when you think about where the first 4 out or the last 4 in kind of land in the seeding situation. So if you're Indiana, the season is by no means, you know, beyond your grip, but it is one where you've got to stop this slide, and soon. And it's fair to say we really don't have a lot of evidence that suggests Indiana can do that or will do that at home. Therefore, it needs to happen, or excuse me, on the road. Therefore, it needs to happen at home, and it needs to start basically right now. Now, of course, if Indiana could win Iowa and then pick up either of its next 2 after that on the road, Michigan or Minnesota, then, hey, the conversation shifts completely, and it's not like teams don't do that. You know, Michigan State's lost 3 in a row. I pointed this out to somebody. I said this to somebody earlier today. You know, it feels like Michigan State has a swoon like this every year where they lose 3 in a row or they lose 4 or 5. And you think, oh, geez, what's happening there? And then, of course, they always get it back together and rally through March. Of course, Indiana's not Michigan State, either in terms of, you know, the experience that Archie Miller has compared to Tom Izzo or the talent on Indiana's roster compared to Michigan State's. My point is simply teams go through lulls and find their way out of them, you know, pretty consistent, like all the time. I mean, in college basketball, it's part of the sport. But if Indiana's going to do that, if Indiana's going to snap out of this, it's got to happen soon. And I mean, we're talking here on February 10th. There's less than a month left in the regular season now. It's time to go if you're Indiana, and you've got to be able to at very least bank some of these home games that give you the breathing space that you've surrendered over the last 2 weeks. Otherwise, you're going to get to the end of the season and you're going to have nothing on the road, and you're going to be looking at games like Maryland and Arkansas at home and saying, man, you know, those were our missed opportunities. And you're probably going to be tracking toward, you know, another season at best right there squarely on the bubble.
Zach Osterman, the Indianapolis Star. Zach, great stuff. Enjoyed your coverage of the game and everything surrounding the return of Bob Knight as well. Great work. Thanks for your time. Look forward to this each Monday and talk with you next week.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
Zach Osterman, the Indianapolis Star. Great way to start the week. He's all over the IU beat for the Indianapolis Star. We'll head to a break. We'll come back with Chad Gilbert. Local stuff, including some Romeo Langford discussion. girls basketball sectionals, and a lot more after this with Chad Gilbert right here on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
Let's win this one for all the small schools who never had a chance to get here.
Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Let's win for Coach. You got us here.
Here's Matt Dennison.
Back here in our final segment, Chad Gilbert, Charlestown Athletic Director, IHSA board member and former coach here in the area, joins us Mondays. We talk a lot of local sports. And, Chad, it's busy time for high school. Girls sectionals wrap up. You guys are getting ready at Charlestown to host a big regional. We'll talk about that and more and some boys stuff coming up here in just a moment. But let's start with Romeo Langford and Boston Celtics. Romeo, thanks in part to some injuries, which you hate to see injuries for any player, any team at any level, but it has opened a little bit of a door for Romeo Langford, who has capitalized, I think, on these opportunities. He had a couple games with some reasonable minutes, in fact, pretty big minutes, and including 16 points and a good production line all the way across the stat line, specifically in one of those games. I think yesterday he didn't log near as many minutes, but he's getting some time and getting some opportunities for Boston with other guys out and some returning. That may cut into his minutes. I think Smart is back now, which could trim him down. But it's great to see Romeo, Chad, get an opportunity to shine at the NBA level and show that, you know what, he probably does belong there and he might go on to play at that level for some time if and when he gets the right opportunities.
Matt, you said the key word is capitalize, and that's what Romeo's doing with his opportunity. There's no question he belongs in the NBA, without a doubt. You know, people don't get drafted in the lottery just to see if they can make it. You know, Romeo is going to be a lifelong NBA player. He's got the skills. Romeo won the genetic lottery. He's got stuff you cannot teach. You mix that in with his work ethic, his desire to compete, his desire to get better, and what you've got is a NBA veteran. You know, I look for Romeo to have continue this success, continue to have a great career, and it's just, again, it's like when local kids go to Indiana or Purdue, Louisville, Kentucky, whatever. It makes it more enjoyable. It makes it more interesting to watch and just see, hey, how did Romeo do last night? And I think that's great for Southern Indiana, and I know it's great for New Albany High School, but most importantly, it's great for Romeo Langford and his family. For all the hard work and all the dedication that he's put in, it's finally paying the benefits.
Chad Gilbert joining me. Chad, let's get to some local stuff while we've got some time. Girls sectionals in the books. I mentioned some of the highlights, the winners, the losers, how the week went in the first segment of the show. But a little disappointing, not one team from Clark or Floyd counties the opportunity to win a sectional. We won't have anybody that local, at least, left in the regional play, and you guys host a regional coming up as well. But no local team. I thought Silver Creek, I thought Coach Shane might get it done against Salem. They were so close. They had a terrific year. But Salem got him in the very end of, I know what was a thrilling sectional championship game.
Oh, it was outstanding up here, Matt. We had great crowds every night, and that championship game went down to the wire. Those are tough games to be part of. You know, I sent Coach Shane a text after the game. It's kind of like that old Aerosmith song, Matt. You got to lose to know how to win. You know, his guys played. They played well enough to win that game. Unfortunately, there's only one team that's going to advance. That same thing happened to us in 2010 when I was at Jeffersonville. You know, it was one of those things that you kind of look in the mirror and say, you know, am I going to go out like this or I'm just going to hang this up? You know, that's how devastating those losses kill you from the inside. What we decide to do, what I'm sure Coach Shane's going to decide to do, is he's going to build on that. He's going to use that game for drive, and it's going to make them a contender in 2021 because looking at his roster, they return everyone. So you look for Silver Creek to make a deep, deep run and be fueled with that game in their back of their mind all summer long, all fall, and all next winter. So, you know, that's something positive going in, but it's something that talks cheap. You got to do it.
Chad,
on a side note to that, you know, you hate that the Clark Floyd schools did not advance. However, three Mid-Southern Conference schools have advanced to the region with Eastern in the 2A, Brownstown in 3A, and Salem in 3A. So we're excited as a conference, and we wish those teams luck this weekend.
Chad, gotta be glad that we're getting you on Mondays because as this week goes on, you're going to find yourself a little more busy than a normal sports week at Charlestown High School, because you guys, after hosting a sectional with pretty local teams, are going to host a big regional, lots of games, semifinals in the morning, championship game that night at Charlestown Sports Arena. Great place to host postseason basketball. You guys do it the right way. A busy week, a lot goes into that, and you've got some really good teams coming to town.
Well, absolutely. We've got the top three teams in 3A that are coming, so we're going to have big crowds, 1,500 pre-sale tickets already. And, you know, our gym holds about 3,000. It'd be great to pack this place out and see a lot of good competitive basketball. And I think that's the most important thing in the tournament is kids do their best. They leave it all on the floor, and the games for the fans come down to the wire. So it's a big time up here. It's a busy time because last week, you know, with a 7-team sectional, we had a game Tuesday, two on Wednesday. We had a boys game Thursday, two games Friday, championship Saturday. Flip that around with this week. We have a sectional or a regional meeting today. Home game tomorrow for the boys, and then, you know, teams come in and practice. We do our regional Saturday morning at 10:30, 12:30, and 7:30 at night. And then, you know, factor in all that when we had girls swimming sectional last week. We had five boys who were advancing in the wrestling semi-state. It's been a great week to be a Pirate, but it's been a hectic week to be an AD.
Yeah, no question about it. Busy time hosting postseason events where it's all on the line. It's big stuff and a lot of behind-the-scenes work. I know from experience the fans showing up, they're glad to be there. They're only happy if their team wins and their kid performs well in most cases. But lots and lots of work, not just from you, but your staff and teachers and other volunteers goes into that kind of stuff.
Oh, Matt. So. Yeah, and the amount of workers and your volunteers and hospitality room workers, security, just so much goes into it. And top that off, Matt, with yesterday, Amy, my wife, and my daughter Evelyn share the same birthday. So we had a pink birthday party yesterday to top it off. 4 years old for Evelyn. I won't tell you how old Amy is, but it was a great time.
I know.
You know, and to switch the script a little bit, you had a busy weekend with what you've done over there with the New Albany Floyd Elementary Basketball League. You know, in order the way you run that, Matt, the way that you get the youth involved in it with not only a championship but an all-star game, that gets kids excited about playing, gives them something to shoot for, and hopefully it motivates them to take on the hardwood and follow these kids that are playing now and look up to those kids, and maybe one day they'll step on there and play for a sectional or regional championship. So, you know, hats off to you and all the work that you've done over there, because that's not an easy gig to get going. It's not an easy gig to do. But it is a lot of fun. It's very meaningful to the kids.
Yeah, fun to see the kids enjoy, to special moments, whether they win or lose. We try to do it right. Chad, I want to close with this. From your perspective as a former girls coach but also a boys coach at Jeff, you get into this stretch of the boys season. The girls tournament has now started. Sectional week last week. I'm curious, as a coach, you're used to these Friday, Saturday games. Occasionally, maybe you play one or two Tuesday night games during the year. But when you get to girls sectional week and the boys flip to Thursday, Saturday afternoon, completely different feel. I know with New Albany, going to Jennings County on Thursday, then a Saturday afternoon in the middle of the day, the gym just doesn't feel the same when the sun's out for a high school basketball game. Your thoughts on that as a coach, can that throw off a routine? Because most people are at this point of the year are really in the boys' side, are really into their routine for the season and coming down the stretch.
Well, as an AD, you know, first, it kills your gait. Because you've got to play on either that Thursday or Saturday, because you don't know whether you or your opponent will be playing in the sectional, the girls' sectional that day, either it's that Tuesday, Friday, or Saturday. So you can't schedule on those days. That Thursday is the date you try to schedule on, their Saturday morning. And what happens is fans are just so tired because they've watched those teams all week. That's one more night for them. So your gait really gets killed. From a coach's standpoint, yeah, it kind of throws a monkey wrench in there, because this point of the year, if you want anything, you want a Tuesday, Friday, Saturday going into sectional, so you've got that kind of feel under your belt if that's what you're going to play. A Saturday game is not bad because it gives you that regional format. However, it does not have the feel of Indiana high school basketball, Matt, and I'm not sure what we can do on that one, just other than play on and go forward and try to do the best we can. But it can throw you in a loop. But the one thing is right now, this is when you want to hit your home stretch. So you got to put that behind you and keep moving forward.
Thanks, Chad. Always fun to have you. Appreciate you coming on with us. Good luck with the regional.
Matt, appreciate everything you do for Southern Indiana Hoops. Thanks for your run.
Absolutely. That'll wrap things up for this Monday program. Back with you tomorrow at 11 o'clock. It's the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.